Brian Murphy, investigative reporter, WRAL.com, WRALsportsfan.com, has got a story up on the website right now. And Brian, I'm going to be up front. This bothers me. I don't like this headline. I know you don't write the headlines, but this headline bothered me. Latest bill would not legalize online sports gambling in North Carolina until January 1. Why? Why do we have to wait till January 1? The football season is like 2 months away.
That's a great question. I think they call this counting votes.
Mm.
And I think in order to, you know, assuage everyone's concerns and get everyone on board and get the votes that they needed, I think everyone felt more comfortable with January 1. I don't know this for a fact, but the lottery commission is going to be in charge of this, you know, to kind of regulate an entirely new industry in less than 6 months seems like a stretch. So I think they want to give everyone the same starting point. All the companies can begin on January 1. That's if this passes, first of all.
What do you mean if?
Whoa.
Brian, buddy, no. What do you mean if?
All indications are that it's going to pass, but, you know, I haven't counted the vote. So I just want to, you know, we're talking about it like it's a foregone conclusion. I think we'll have a lot better sense by the end of this week, you know, if this is going to pass. Again, I think it will pass. Everyone I've talked to thinks it will pass. But important for me to just put that disclaimer out there.
Brian Murphy, WRALsportsfan.com, WRAL, joining us here on the OG on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. And Murph, the tax rate in there, I remember one of your original stories that you wrote about legalized gambling in the state of North Carolina. It was awfully low on the original bill. It seems like that has been corrected.
Yeah, they've upped that rate from 8%, which would have been, I think, the third lowest in the country behind Nevada and Iowa, to 14%, which kind of puts it in line with where everybody else is. Virginia, for example, is at 15%. They've also, it's a little, you know, in the weeds, but the companies are going to offer lots and lots of promos and free bets to attract customers right away. Well, the original bill let them write off those fees, those promotional bets and all that stuff forever, kind of as a deduction. Virginia has this problem, and it's really lowered the amount of money that the state is getting. Well, Virginia went and corrected that today. They passed a bill ending that. The new legislation here in North Carolina would sunset it after 5 years. So, you know, for the first couple of years, they'll be able to use that money to attract customers and write it off on their taxes. After a little while, they'll have to stop writing that off on their taxes, which should mean North Carolina should attract a lot more revenue from these companies in taxes, you know, after that 5-year sunset.
Brian Murphy, WRAL.com, WRALsportsfan.com, joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. He's got a new story up on the latest regarding legalized sports wagering in the state of North Carolina. So far, I've not been happy with this discussion because it feels like there's uncertainty when there shouldn't be any uncertainty. And I guess we'll just kind of close this conversation with a reiteration of what the potential issues might be. You know, when you look across the eastern the eastern seaboard here, you're seeing other states move forward with legalized sports wagering. I believe it's legal in Virginia, right? Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Okay. South Carolina's got their own stuff cooking, if I'm not mistaken. So why? Like, I don't want to go to south of the border, but you're kind of putting people in a position where they would have to go there or Virginia. It almost feels like a repeat of the lottery, where so many other states were going in on the lottery and North Carolina had to find its way to kind of come to peace with it. So they called it the education lottery and everything else. So I feel like lessons weren't learned from this. Is that a correct assumption, that lessons just weren't learned from the lottery and they're just kind of slow footing this right now?
Well, I think, you know, it depends on who you talk to about the lottery. There are people here in this building, I'm in the legislature right now, who are still sore over the way the lottery went down. There were a lot of shenanigans to get the lottery passed, and a lot of people who were opposed to the lottery say, you know, that they've been proven true. All their concerns about the lottery have borne out, that they've had to invest more money into promotion. They've had to invest more money into coming up with new games to keep the money train alive.
Mm-hmm.
So the lessons from the lottery are very much looming over this, but not necessarily in the way that I think you're saying the lessons from the lottery should be looming over this.
Well, to your point, okay, got it. The concerns about the lottery might be valid. I'm not going to argue that point because they're right. Yeah, you have to come up with new games. You have to keep people enticed. I mean, my dad is a huge
You have to keep working?
What? Weird. My dad loves the lottery. He buys scratch-off tickets all the time. He's always intrigued by whatever the new game is, the very first Tuesday, all that stuff. Got it. But that's on the state to come up with that stuff. Like, they understand that these things are going to be run by, like, MGM and Caesars and DraftKings and FanDuel. It's not on them to be.
We're not going to have a gambling license?
Yeah, well, maybe. Hopefully we can have a 99.9 The Fan Giglio Sportsbook. So I'm kind of at a loss here.
That's a terrible idea,
it really
by the
is.
Way.
I'm a little bit of at a loss here.
Chinese Super League.
Giglio is your home for tippy-toppa wagers at the 99.9 The Fan Sportsbook. So, but Brian, my question is, like, they understand that it's the sports books that are concerned with this stuff, not them.
Sure. I mean, the two main arguments that you get from the right is, look, gambling is bad for North Carolinians, right? It leads to you know, and they don't say everybody, but some percentage of people who gamble will become problem gamblers. It will lead to problems in their family. It will lead to financial stresses. Domestic violence, you know, and down the line. And then on the other side, you know, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party argues, hey, why do we need to open up our market? Basically, we're giving these billion-dollar companies free access to our population to do whatever they want with it. There's a lot of concerns about, like, impacts on integrity of college athletics. I'm not saying I buy all of these arguments, but these are the arguments that are being made. At the end of the day, I think the middle of both the Republican and the Democratic Party are going to come together on this issue. They're going to pass it perhaps this week, maybe by the end of next week. And we'll have sports gambling likely in the state by January. But there are issues that they're trying to work through. And there are arguments that we're going to hear in the next couple of days here in the legislature as people try to stop this.
Brian Murphy, WRL.com, WRLSportsFan.com, investigative reporter. Brian, we appreciate the time, and I'm going to count you as a no on investing in the Joe Giglio tippy-toppa sportsbook.
I can work as a barkeep there.
All right. That works. All right, Brian. We'll talk to you later, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yet another curious decision was made in the world of golf, where Brooks Koepka, who spent the majority of the time at the U.S. Open admonishing people for even asking him about the LIV Golf Tour. How dare you? I am focused on the U.S. Open.
Black cloud.
How would you do this to me? Apparently, Brooks Koepka will leave the PGA Tour to join the LIV Golf Invitational Series when they play its next tournament later this month in Oregon. This is being reported by a variety of different outlets. Koepka, unlike golfers we've talked about in the past, like Phil Mickelson or Sergio Garcia, Koepka is relatively young. He's 32 years old. He was the number one golfer in the world, 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Was he in 19 or 20 where he was the top golfer in the world according to the official world golf rankings? And he's been
in 19 was the second time he won the PGA Championship, so he would have ended that year.
So look, he's won four majors, and a variety of other top finishes. So this is another one of those curious moves. Unlike Phil, which is a money grab, curious moves by Koepka, and I guess maybe it's not curious. Maybe that's actually makes sense for somebody like Koepka, who has said, and I've admired from him, I only care about the majors. If he's set in terms of major golf events, he can still play the Masters, he can still play the U.S. Open, he still qualifies for the PGA Championship, he still qualifies for the British Open, well then, why would I find myself incentivized to play on the PGA Tour when I can go get my dollars in tournaments that I might not necessarily care about?
32 years old, in his prime, marketable. Don't forget Mick Ultra. He's one of the faces of that ad campaign, and Mick Ultra is a huge sponsor of the PGA Tour. This is a blow for the PGA Tour, and in part because of what you just said about the majors. He already has that access to the majors.
Yeah.
Interesting development today, Joe, that under your radar and most golf fans' radar. The BMW International Field, which is part of the DP World Tour, which is the European Tour, what we would formally call the European Tour. The BMW International is in Germany this week. In the field, Sergio Garcia and Louis Oosthuizen.
Okay.
Now, this is important because those two players are able to gain world golf ranking points by playing on the DP World Tour. That will be a potential bug in this system for the PGA Tour because access is the problem. And if Abraham answers, the other player who left today, another top 20 player left now, that the LIV Tour has 8 of the top 20 players in the world. But if they don't have the access like Koepka does to the majors, like you're an Abraham answer, you need those world golf ranking points. And this is why. Phil Mickelson ended last year number 33 in the world golf rankings. He's played, what, 4 times this year now? If that?
Yeah.
He's dropped 50 spots.
Oof.
So he's at 83 right now, Joe. So he doesn't have access based on his world golf ranking. He has access based on his PGA Championship from last year. Again, the older players who are kind of set with their majors, a DJ, a Phil, even a Sergio who won the Masters in 18, you're talking about now in Koepka, a player in his prime who has been a reluctant face but still a face of the PGA Tour. This one is more troubling for the PGA Tour, and Mark Schlabaugh, ESPN, is reporting. The PGA Tour is taking this one a little bit more seriously, not in terms of trying to get him back, but in trying to prevent other players like Koepka from leaving. They're going to, according to Schlabaugh's reporting, there was a meeting today. Jay Moynihan, the head of the PGA Tour, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, told the players they're willing to tweak the schedule, go back to the in-year calendar format instead of playing over Thanksgiving and wrapping around the season. It'll now start in January, which again is important because that's where you pick up points in all of the different FedEx Cup standings and all of your world golf rankings. So they're potentially going to change that for the 23 calendar. And they're also going to have more invitational events, more invitational no-cut events with bigger purses. They're also going to soup up those events that maybe you care a little bit more about. Mm-hmm. They're not majors, but the Arnold Palmer, the Memorial, Torrey Pines. So some of those different events are going to get more money pumped into them. And now you're going to see a tweak to the calendar, which I think most pros are going to see favorably. I have been critical of the golfers who have left the PGA Tour for the LIV Tour because we're acting like the players on the PGA Tour are lacking some sort of sustenance. They're not.
Yeah.
They are being greedy. But when you're in a position that Koepka's in and you have access to the majors based on your merit, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not like anyone gave it to him.
No,
merit. He won those majors himself.
Koepka has
And those are really difficult to do.
Yes.
As we've seen. Just ask Will Zalatoris. So this is an interesting response by the PGA Tour, probably one that needed to come before all of these other guys left. But at some point, you can only throw your hands up against a $600 billion fund for so long.
Some of the things that Schlabaugh reported on ESPN, that they would increase purses worth at least $20 million in 8 existing marquee events, 3 new events in a global golf series that will include no cuts, limited fields, and purses of at least $25 million. These are things that you could probably point to the PGA Tour and go, you know, these are things that you probably could have worked on before the LIV Golf Tour blew
Same
up
with the
in
schedule.
Your face.
Same with the schedule.
Because I want to make something clear. I'm not dismissing any of the concerns from golfers that have been trying to make the PGA Tour listen
sure.
to them. That's something that the PGA Tour probably should have been on the ball about a little sooner and cut this off at the pass rather than looking like now they're the ones scrambling because it really got serious with some of the guys who are now leaving, including Brooks Koepka. But I don't think it's too little too late because I think most people understand that the PGA Tour still affords a visibility that the LIV Golf Tour never will. The dangerous thing that the PGA Tour might have miscalculated is that the LIV Golf Tour and the money that's funding it doesn't care about visibility, doesn't care about television deals, doesn't care about any of that stuff.
A functional website with a scoreboard.
They don't care. Right. They do not care that you go, wait, what television channel is it on? Oh, it's YouTube? They don't care about any of that stuff. And I will admit that it's taken me a couple of weeks to wrap my mind around those types of things. It's really difficult to compete with an entity that doesn't want to beat you in things that you already have establishment on. They just want to beat you with the names, and they have the money to do it. And now the PGA Tour is in a scramble mode, and we'll see if it has any sort of impact going forward.